You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of May 20th, 2020. And grab that deck, rip a gnarly Chrysler no scope Ollie, and I'm 35 and I've never skated in my life. Oh, God. I'm so uncool.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alboy.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And I'll go out there. I will say, for me, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater is a foundational video game.
That's fair. Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know if it's a healthy foundation, but it's a foundation.
It's a shaky one. Rest on... shitty trucks that I haven't upgraded and bad wheels that have a bunch of divots in them, but it's a foundation nonetheless.
Did you ever learn how to skateboard?
Nope.
did you want to? Like, did Tony Hawk make you want to learn how to skateboard?
I think we will get into this, but not weirdly enough, not really. I mean, it didn't.
You're like, I'm never going to be that good. Look at Tony Hawk.
Dude, that dude I'm never going to nail the 900.
He's shredding the gnar. I can't do that.
Like the Birdman himself.
Well, at some point you'd be like, honestly, that looks a little dangerous, you know? I'm never one to be the first in that line of danger, so.
I've seen those pixelated blood chunks that come out when you fall. I'm not into that.
Well, the other weird thing for me in my context, I grew up on a farm. Like, we did not have pavement, you know? We had gravel roads. Like, where the fuck am I going to skate? Down the highway that's, like, a good ways away? No way, man.
Yeah, you could skitch. You could hold on to a car.
Yeah, that's safe. Are you kidding me? And our hill was so steep, you know? Like, it was dangerous walking up that hill, let alone skating down it. Side note, if you've ever watched that film Gleaming the Cube, you're among the best of people.
I guess I'm not among the best of people. I have my homework for next week.
It's a fantastic skateboarding movie about a guy avenging the death of his I think it's he has a Vietnamese or foreign exchange student stepbrother.
He's avenging that person's death?
Yeah, it's a skateboarding film that you have to like skate. It's like Over the Top for skateboarding. Uh-huh.
Okay, got it.
It's very good. I think, yeah, it's very good.
Gleaming the Cube?
Gleaming the Cube, yeah.
Okay,
look that up later. That's our watch the trailer.
Yeah, that's our required watching for next week, I suppose. If you haven't gathered, we are excited and amused by the recent announcement of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 Remastered Edition.
That's true. 1 and 2 coming in the same package.
Yeah. They announced this pretty recently, and so we wanted to just talk about Tony Hawk for a minute, but then also talk about the other, I'm going to call them sports-adjacent games.
I think that's fair.
That have kind of a place in our heart, because I think the reason why Tony Hawk did not inspire me to get into skateboarding was that it's only nominally a skateboarding game.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Because you are doing things at such ease that it's not as though you're really putting in the effort. Is that why you would say it?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's an arcade score attack, not a simulation meant to simulate the actual sport, you know?
Yeah.
It's meant to simulate the essence of 1990 skateboarding, not the physics.
Right. Not the Tony Hawk game that came with a skateboard peripheral that you would put on the floor. Remember that?
What do they call that?
Was that a Kinect Tony Hawk game?
I think it was a Wii game, because I think... Or actually, no, you know what? It was a standalone, because you had to buy the peripheral. It was in the heyday of peripherals. So it was a standalone thing that... I mean, I'm sure they sold it on many consoles, but... it was a motion-sensitive skateboarding controller.
Yeah, what a wild thing that was.
I think it was called Tony Hawk's Ride, wasn't it?
Do you ride a skateboard? I mean, I guess you ride a skateboard. Yeah. You're kind of piloting the skateboard, though.
I was just going to ask, what would you call it? Manning a skateboard?
You man a skateboard. You operate a skateboard. You know, it's like heavy machinery. You're not supposed to do it while drunk or under the influence, you know?
Well, then we're going to have to disqualify all professional skaters.
The idea of like it not being a simulation is a funny one, because here's the hard reality, right? I don't really know how to skateboard or what is happening to you as you skateboard. Like, how do you make a game that is a simulation, you know? Are you concerning mm-hmm. about, like, weight and balance, you know? Because there is the, I don't know how accurate it is, but when you're doing that thing where you're on the front wheels, mm-hmm. what is that called?
Wheeling? Like when you're a manual?
Yeah, like a manual, right? And it would have mm-hmm. the balance meter. Or when you're grinding, yes. right? Like that balance meter, that was a joy to see how long can I test this and chain tricks together by balancing yeah. weirdly long distances. And as yeah. you know, as the balance goes back and forth, that to me feels the most simulation-ish, because the thing that I never could quite grasp about skateboarding, the few times I did hop on top of that deck, as it were, was staying on the damn thing. So,
I mean, I think that is, and to be fair, I've never played, because the other big one that people talk about all the time is Skate.
Yes. Yep.
And that was a much more, you know, every button has a different, like when you're pulling off a trick, you have to balance several buttons to maintain balance and to, you know, this is your front leg, this is your back leg, you know, much more like simulation based, approach to it. But in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, you were not, there was no difference between the skateboard and the human on it. It was just one unit and you were just kind of controlling it.
That's
around.
True. We need our Escape from Tarkov skateboarding game, you know?
Yeah. Like highly simulation driven. Yes. Every single thing is different. Or like that. It's really the difference between, remember, I think they're actually making a sequel to this game, but a long time ago, you and I played this independent game that was largely a tech demo called Receiver. Do you remember that?
Yes, where every bullet has to be individually reloaded.
Yeah, and there was actual mechanism, like the lower receiver of the gun was an actual mechanic, and the chamber and everything. And so, and really, I mean, because that is how a gun works. But in every single game, even to the point of something like Escape from Tarkov or PUBG, their method of firearms is basically the Tony Hawk method of skateboards.
That's right. Yeah, Tony Hawk is just it's basically a shooter.
Yeah, mean it's you know the gun in most video games is just a weird protrusion from the character model that has no weight or existence outside of itself. And I think that's what makes Tony Hawk great, because you didn't have to worry about that stuff. You just had to care about your line through the levels,
right?
You know?
Whereas skate is a mandate telling you to, in fact, skate, right?
To skate, yes.
Tony Hawk, the whole idea is you're already a pro skater, right?
You're playing, a pro skater.
You are playing, but like Bob Bermquist doesn't have to fucking think about this shit, you know? Like, it's just second nature to him. He has become the board, you know? He's an extension of the sword. He's mastered it, you know, like a true samurai. So in that sense, I think you're totally right. That's what makes those games a blast, because you're just navigating the landscape. The other thing that I always really enjoyed about the Tony Hawk games was that it took these sort of recognizable locations and sort of just slammed them through an alternate dimension where skateboarding was just like how people moved about existence, you know?
Oh, man, this is for you specifically. This is heaven, because you're always thinking about alternate realities where mundane rules are different.
Right. It's not like, oh, well, what? It's like, ask yourself the question, right? Okay, sure. Kids will skateboard to school, but what if once they got to school, they had to continue to skateboard throughout the school to get to classes? This is what the world would be built like. And that is extremely satisfying, because you could go on these sort of fun tours. I think the first Tony Hawk game probably, to be honest, ages worse than Tony Hawk 2, which I think probably holds up a little bit better, at least in my memory. But even in Tony Hawk 1, there are those fun little zones, right? Where if you jump right and you get into a window, you can find one of the tape decks that is like a secret bonus, or you'd get the S from the SKATE, right? And take yourself to weird locations that you wouldn't otherwise do, that you'd be like, why is there a pipe to grind here on the third floor of this rooftop, you know? Or mm-hmm. why is there this swimming pool carved into the top of this parking garage?
Yep. I think the world has evolved to accommodate skateboards. It's just an amazing thing that you don't even think about when you're playing the game, because it's just so natural. But then when you take a step back and look at it, even the proportions of the walls and the roads and everything are completely out of whack and yep. meant specifically to make it more fun to skate lines through.
Yes. Like in real life, right? When we go to the Embarcadero, there are those weird little metal things yes. that they put specifically to stop kids from grinding on public architecture, you know?
Yep.
It's like, what if that were the opposite? What if it was the state's yeah. mandates to make to sure everything was...
To yeah, facilitate to skating.
That would be amazing, dude. Like, we need to make San Francisco the most shreddable city in the entire country. Let's have a huge update in public infrastructure to make it work.
Okay, let's talk about one of the most hilarious slash actually weirdly admirable things about this remake. They are rendering the characters as they look today.
Yeah.
What? So that means everyone is at least in their 40s.
Yeah, Tony Hawk is 54 right now, okay? So you'll be able to skateboard as a 54-year-old. I have to assume he's still doing the 900 in the video game. Can he do the 900 now? I don't think so.
I mean, you could, you know, it's like Luke Skywalker. If you believe you can, you can.
Who asked for this? Was it Tony? Was Tony like, look, I've aged. I'm a more mature man. I want to inspire young skateboarders that they can continue to skate into their old age. Put me in as an old guy.
Like, I mean, honestly, there is a certain age positivity to it that is kind of cool. And it's just neat to see people age hopefully gracefully and not just sweep them under the rug once they turn 25.
That's very true. Yeah.
But my serious answer is they didn't have accurate mocap of them in their 20s. Like this, like there's no source anymore.
Oh yeah. That's a good idea.
You know, they didn't have a high res face scan of Bucky Lassick at the tender age of 27. They only have grizzled veteran punished snake Bucky Lassick.
Well, but to be fair, you could just render his face on like a young, there's still people who know how to skateboard now, you know, call them into the studio.
I mean, it still doesn't solve the face thing. And, like, the body thing is whatever. I mean, you're right. You could easily fake that. But the face thing, I mean, unless you're going to go to the effort of, like...
They can make Robert De Niro look like he's 25, you know? Like, come on.
Well, see, that's where you're wrong, George, because they didn't.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. We have the naysayers about the face youngening technology in the movies. But it feels like they could have...
I will also say there's probably a difference between... the Disney magic of de-aging and the Vicarious Visions, not to throw shade at Vicarious Visions. They seem to do good work, but I mean, they don't have Marvel money to do this, you know?
For sure. Yeah. That's a very, very good point. Yeah. I mean, all that being said, now that you mention Vicarious Visions, which is not a name I would ever have thought I would see again, to be honest, I'm sure they're involved in other game making, but it's not a publisher that sort of is in the popular consciousness.
Yeah.
All of the screenshots and the trailer actually look really good. It looks like they've done a really high quality visual upgrade in terms of the textures and the lighting in all of these maps. It looks pretty good.
I mean, it seems to have a level of care and detail that we haven't really got in the last few Tony Hawk remakes, because they did a up-res or a kind of a remaster, basically not a full remake, but they did a modernization that for whatever reason wasn't received well. I never played it.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they did a Tony Hawk 5, which was received equally poorly. So it seems like there seems to be just from the early trailers and just the vibe around this that there seems to be a certain care to it, which is nice, especially for like a beloved series like this.
Let me ask you this. Is skating cool?
Okay, I thought you were going to say, is it a crime? And I was like, no, skateboarding is not a crime. That's what the bumper stickers tell me.
I always thought skating was cool at the time. And it's one of the reasons why Tony Hawk Pro Skater was awesome, right? Mm-hmm. I couldn't do those things, but there were cool people that could skateboard. Like in the 90s, you know, that aesthetic... We were listening to Nirvana and shit. Like, it was great. The soundtrack was great. Tony Hawk Pro Skater was cool, right?
Yes.
But now I'm thinking a lot of kids are playing Fortnite. Travis Scott just did like a fucking live concert in that game. You know, like the degree that we have amped up the sort of cool factor of games that we play within the age demographic that Tony Hawk Pro Skater was hitting when that came out has changed dramatically, you know? Hmm. And the expectations around what a game like this would be has changed, right? I mean, this will have multiplayer, but if you look at something like Fortnite or any of the Battle Royale games, like what multiplayer means today even means something different than just you and a buddy shredding the streets of LA, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I wonder how much of this game do you think is really just appealing to folks like you and I who want to capture the illusion we had of being under the illusion we were cool versus what is actually something desirable and fun today.
I mean, I think there's definitely, clearly this is a nostalgia play, and the soundtrack announcement that they made seems to have, and they haven't released it all yet, but I imagine the licensing for this game took almost as long as the development of this game, if not more. I mean, it's hard to track down all that music and get those agreements refreshed and so forth.
Yep.
And I think it's a crucial part of the game because the game is about a time and a place, and this is not in a bad way, but this should appeal to people's nostalgia. So I think there's definitely that.
Yeah.
But to your point around just overall appeal, I mean, to this day, especially in this time of the pandemic where kids in my neighborhood are still not in school all day, there are just kids roaming the streets on skateboards now wearing masks. So, I mean, I feel I feel like it's only gotten more, we've gotten past the kind of Rage Against the Machine rebellion phase to the full on proto Mad Max skate gangs phase.
Nice. We always knew this day would come.
Yeah. And unfortunately I haven't ensconced myself as an elder statesman of the gang or whatever, but I got to do that fast or else they're just going to eat me or something.
Yeah. You have to fellow kids your way into that group before it's too late.
Oh man. So one very nerdy thing that I want to talk about with this game that makes me optimistic for it is they confirmed that they put the revert move into it, which was something that only got introduced in Tony Hawk 3, but is widely seen as the revert move allows you to chain together separate moves coming out of a half pipe. So instead of ending your combo once you land it from doing the half pipe, you can revert into the next part of the half pipe. So you can just essentially, if you're good enough, you can just keep your combo going the full 2.5 minutes or whatever.
What is a revert?
Basically when you land coming down from an aerial trick, immediately kind of doing a skid shifting move to rotate your board 180 degrees in preparation to go back up the other side of the ramp.
Oh, I see. So the landing and transition is itself now a trick. Therefore, it's counted as like one loop.
Exactly. And they only had put that into Tony Hawk 3, but the fact that you had a manual, the grind, the aerial, and finally you could link them together with the revert meant you had basically just kind of completed the loop of the trick triangle, and everything else in my mind was basically iterative. And so I think it's smart that they took that thing and put it into Tony Hawk 1 and 2, which probably have more, there's more nostalgia around those levels. It's just that why not add the better mechanics back in too, which to me makes a lot of sense. Right.
To allow us to continue the endless trick.
The endless trick.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And combine that with the soundtrack and like doing the work seems like, it seems like this is the right way to treat Tony Hawk. We'll see how good it is ultimately, but like this seems like the right move to be making.
So how much is this game? $40? $60?
I don't know if they announced
there's a price yet. How much would you pay for this?
To me, this seems like I mean, you're getting Tony Hawk's 1 and 2, and you're getting a brief respite from the hellscape that we currently live in.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's, I don't know, $40. I've spent $40 on stupider things.
That's a very good point. I think the idea of this being the hangout game and a nostalgia-driven hangout game is very good. Like, that is very well-timed for that. And if it means it's just you and I skateboarding around a high school with no thread or no specific end goal, I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, we could have like a point score race challenge or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think the satisfying thing to me would just be experimenting around in an environment and coming up with our own kind of like tricks to, can we jump over each other and do like fun little tricks like that and stuff that will drive this being satisfying as a game where it's really just two grown-ass men hanging out, you know?
I agree. So before we go, I put it out there as to what other kind of sports games have this place of admiration or of nostalgia or what have
and
it sounded like you had some clear winners, so I want to hear some of those.
Okay, so there's a couple that I'm just gonna put out there now because we've talked about them a lot in the podcast. Kirby's Dream Course,
yes,
fucking killer game, excellent game. Another one, and maybe we haven't gushed enough praise on it, but I love it, and there's a lot of nostalgia for it, even though I've mostly played it in adulthood, and that's Windjammers, which is fucking, what a sweet game Windjammers is. the other one that I discovered while thinking about this topic, and I don't know, I think I would say it fits within this question, but Super Baseball Simulator 1000.
Oh, man.
Did you ever play that game?
Was that an NES game?
It was. I think they also made a Super Nintendo version, but I never had a Super Nintendo. So the NES game, it's a baseball game, but your baseball team can have special powers, like sending a ball so fast that it ignites into flames, or having like an electrical charge, or making the baseball like shake the ground if it touches the ground before it's caught, causing like a tremor to go through the group. That the idea of taking a basic normal thing like baseball and then just amping it up to 1000, it is just, it brings me so much joy.
I remember this too. I remember, wasn't it like when you were the pitcher, you could like call down a bolt of lightning or something and then throw it?
And it was great. It's a great multiplayer game because you could really freak people out of like, here we go, baby, lightning ball, lightning ball, lightning ball. And then it's just, you know, like a normal curveball or something.
Here's one that I have in high regard. And I think they've tried to either remake or make tributes to it over the years. And I don't know why it's never quite worked out, but NBA Jam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we need a good basketball game like that.
But I feel like they keep trying that, right? They try.
Didn't they do? Was it
NBA Street?
NBA Street. And, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Gosh, I think there was one or two others, but for some reason it just never. And again, maybe it was a time and place thing. But it wasn't a basketball game. It was a game that had the essence of the attitude of 1990s era basketball in it.
The batitude, if you will.
I mean, it is, everyone's watching that, you know, the Michael Jordan documentary right now, and it was that.
Yeah.
But of course, without Michael Jordan, because he smartly retained his own likeness licensing.
Yeah. Do you think it's because we made these games and they were perfect and there's no, like everything else, we're just adding on chaff, you know?
Right. It's like the Spelunky 2 problem.
Right. How do you perfect a game that's already perfect, you know?
Right.
How do you add to that?
Did you ever play NFL Blitz?
Yeah, NFL Blitz. I mean, that's kind of similar. I didn't like that as much as some of the others, but for sure, yeah.
I feel like NFL Blitz does not age as well, especially in this post-CTE era of the NFL.
Yes.
Because the whole point of it was to cause a grave bodily injury to your opponents.
That's very true. Yeah, it doesn't have that same appeal. There was a couple other weird football games, like, I forget what it was. It was something like football ogres or something. You know, where there's like goblins and dwarves on different teams. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And the football was like a bomb.
I forget what it was called, but I know exactly what you're talking. And they made a recent version of that too.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't there also, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't someone invent in real life a baseball game, not baseball, basketball with trampolines? Jump ball? What do you call
it? Oh, yeah. Jump ball's a thing. I think they actually call it jump ball.
Well,
I thought you were going to go with basketball here. And I was like, George, that was a...
that was a movie. Another tangentially related sports film. No, but I mean, again, like, just because you're adding trampoline, like, you're not... what are you adding to basketball? I don't know. Doesn't seem...
Yeah, just the dunks. I mean, it's oops all dunks.
Oops all dunks. I'm also a big fan of the SSX games as well. Those snowboarding games are really fun. You know, even looking at something like Steep, right? Steep was ostensibly a snowboarding game, but there were all of these other games added on top of it, right? Like you can paraglide, you could wingsuit, things like that. And it's all adding on to what is just the very basic idea, which is how do we make a good snowboarding game? And overwhelmingly, a lot of the complaints around that was, well, really, it should just be closer to Skate, because Skate is did this masterfully, right?
Right.
And I think one of the reasons we always compare these new versions of these sports games to these old ones is because if it's not better, it is a hugely worse experience. It's not just like, oh, well, you tried something different, or there's a different kind of enemy or a different kind of alien. There's only so much iterative space within something that you can then still call it a sports game of that kind, such that the room to work in is limited, and therefore any mistakes or shortcomings are multiplied.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why I think a remake like this works, because it's just easier than making another Tony Hawk game, you know? No one's going to believe a new Tony Hawk game is somehow miraculously better than the Tony Hawk game they remember playing as kids. That will always win out. You know, your memory of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 will almost always be better than whatever this next Tony Hawk game is going to be.
You know, I realized the both of us, we played these games, never skateboarded. Similarly, I played so much NHL 94, have never played hockey.
Oh, that's very true. I mean, where are you going to find ice, you know,
in this region? Yeah, I mean, I live in California. But even so, I mean, I have ice skated before. I'm not very good at it.
Yeah.
And during the 90s, there was an ill-fated trend of street hockey that I participated in school and really messed up my fingers. I mean, that is just a bad thing to let kids play.
But people were hitting your hands with the sticks?
Yeah, I mean, you're on pavement. Everyone has a stick. Everyone's trying to hit a plastic ball that's super hard. And again, you're not wearing gloves or anything, so people are just hacking at each other all the time. It really is like giving kids a bunch of swords or something and just telling them to go to town. But I, similarly to Tony Hawk, I played so much of that NHL 94, and most of my hockey knowledge is still roughly around because of playing that game. But it was definitely the essence of hockey, not not the deep mechanical significance of the modern NHL games.
That's a very good point. Funnily enough, now that you mention it, I guess technically my closest real world experience to video games is actually just playing Qzar a lot, you know. Like I do have first person shooter experience, thank you very much.
And I block the sensors so my opponents can't get at it.
How come we've never gotten a good dodgeball video game? You know, dodgeball is a blast to play in real life.
I wonder, have we had? I mean, I guess the dodgeball games that we have are basically first person shooters, right?
That's
true.
Yeah,
it's basically a sophisticated version of tag with projectiles.
That's true. Total side note, but I saw a commercial for a Bay Area location. I'm sure it's closed right now, unfortunately, everyone. Yep. For a dodgeball arena where instead of dodgeballs, they used padded arrows, and everyone is just fucking shooting bone arrows at each other. How amazing is that?
And how do they make sure that? So they're it's full sized bow and arrow,
full sized like bow,
functional and all.
Yeah, it's functional. The tensile strength of the bow is pretty shit, to be perfectly honest, because they don't want it to like, you know, accidentally
bruise
or like puncture someone's eyeball or whatever.
Yeah,
and then it's just like a weighted pad at the end, and they just shoot each other with it, and you can still catch it because you know it's going so slow that the rules of dodgeball are still mostly the same, you know.
So once you run out of arrows, can you just like Legolas it up and start garroting people with your, I bet, with your well, bow?
That's, I think there's still a dodgeball line of like no trespass, but that's the idea. Oh, okay, got it. Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's see if there's any other... Actually, going back to the more fantasy-style game, Mutant League was one that I played. I feel like never I never had that, it, but yeah. I would play it at friends' houses.
Sure.
But it was one of those things kind of like Baseball Simulator 1000 where it was, we're going to take the rules, but because this is a video game, we can basically do whatever we want. So why do we need to simulate humans? So we're just going to make a bunch of weird lizards and radioactive skeletons play this game.
Yeah. You know, I also for some reason remember playing a game that was kind of like a destruction derby. Maybe I'm thinking of Twisted Metal. I don't think it was Twisted Metal, although that one is also nostalgia factor for sure within that time window. Not really sports related though, because you can fire a guy on a cross onto another person's vehicle and they explode. So
I wonder if they, I mean, I think, I feel like they've tried to, maybe in closing, like what Tony Hawk seems to be one of those. Tony Hawk is in the, is in a rare spot in that they still make NHL games. They still make MLB and NFL games. They just, they have gone less the arcade path and more the sim path. Mm-hmm. And then you have games like Twisted Metal that for some reason haven't aged well, haven't been remade. But then you have Tony Hawk where it, people still have this hunger for it. And the genre itself has not really evolved. So there's still space to redo it and bring it back. But what else is out there? Like, what would you want to see get a similar level of attention that we seem to be seeing here?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think that this would ever be possible because of the licensing issues and costs associated with it. But could you imagine a rock band coming out that's like, hey, all of the Rock Band songs, all in one location, across all three rock bands, all the DLC, you get it immediately. Yep. The guitar is foldable so you could store it in a closet or something. Right. Like, could we imagine something like that? Because in my mind, that's up there with the games that are, you know, maybe not groundbreaking, but iconic within a time and place, you know?
Yep. There's a nostalgia factor, but it still holds up because the game was good.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I think is a good modernized version of this? And it actually doesn't have an analog, but... Rocket League.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of a faux. I mean, it's definitely a competitive game that is sports influenced, but you're not playing as a human soccer player. You're playing as a car with crazy abilities. And it's kind of, I feel like it's kind of the heritage of the Baseball Simulator 1000, Mutant League, NBA Jam, like that. It almost feels like it's carrying the torch of that sentiment.
Yeah. I mean, all you need to do is take a sport and then add something totally alien to that sport. And then if you're lucky, you come out with a success.
Right. I mean, it is kind of, but that's the beauty of Tony Hawk, because they, well, I guess at a certain point they got kind of crazy and like Spider-Man was a guest character. And all
dude,
that stuff.
But his trick where you like sling the webbing onto the board and spin around. So good.
I mean, I wonder what they'll do. Because that was always part of the Tony Hawk games where there was, there was that cop that you could unlock, the fat police guy. I think in one of the Tony Hawks, Darth Maul was in it or something.
Oh my God,
But I hope that they include novelty characters like that again, because I feel like that is part of the spirit of that game.
Were those in Tony Hawk 1 and 2, or were those later editions?
I can't remember which ones were in which.
Honestly, I
feel like they definitely got crazier as the years went on.
I'd completely forgotten that until you mentioned Spider-Man, and now I'm like super jammed for that.
Can you imagine? And the most, you know, the current iteration of Spider-Man in the modern PS4 level graphics or whatever, just skating around, it would be so funny.
Why don't they ever do it the other way around and put Tony Hawk in the new Spider-Man game, you know? And then you could just skateboard around the city.
I mean, if you told me Tony Hawk was in, you know, Avengers Series 2 or whatever, I would completely believe you.
Sure, yeah, 100%. And then he gets shot and just dies. It's just, he's a 54-year-old man. What do you expect?
No, I'm in the wrong universe. Well, I guess we'll leave it there. We might be playing this game pretty soon. I mean, it's supposed to be September, so you know, we don't have that much further to go. So it'll be interesting to see its development. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
ExperiencePoints.net is our website. Let us know, by the way, if you're a skateboarder. I think it'd be fun to talk to an actual skateboarder. What's that like? How do you do those things? How do you not fall off?
How does that work?
How do you stick on top of that thing? There's nothing there. You're not strapped in. How does that make any sense?
Where do you put your web shooters when you're on the board?
Inquiring minds want to know.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao.